So what is a parishioner? We heard in the psalm the response to God, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will." Before we were baptized, we were under a death sentence. Without baptism, we can't have hope for eternal life. There's nothing giving us that expectation of eternal life. Eternal life is only possible with God. It's inconceivable to have eternal life apart from God. Only God is eternal. So you can only have eternal life with God, not separated from Him. Adam and Eve rejected God. They rebelled. And therefore all their children lost what they had. They had eternal life. And they separated themselves. We are their children. They were our first parents. We are just exactly like them. We don't have eternal life of our own. Only through our baptism can we have eternal life. Adam and Eve shut their children out of heaven. Through Mary's yes and Jesus giving us the sacrament of baptism, we don't have to fear the end of mortal life. When it's out, it's out. Because of our baptism, our sins have been forgiven, and we're admitted to life with God. It's a mystery. We're admitted to life with the sacraments. We're admitted to eternal life. That's what our baptism does for us. Baptism makes us citizens of God's kingdom, citizens of heaven, citizens of His church, the body of Christ. St. Paul writes in that second reading, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours," says Paul. Because of their baptism, the Corinthians were called to live in God's kingdom. That's what makes them holy. That's what makes us holy. Because of their baptism, they've been redeemed from that death sentence with only mortal life until death of the body. This gift of eternal life is given to all whose sins have been forgiven by their baptism. If we sin after that, then we're given another chance, several other chances. That's why Jesus gave us the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, absolution of our sins that restores us to be just like when we were baptized. That's the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation. And after we're baptized, we're admitted to the sacrament of the Eucharist to receive Jesus' body and blood. And we know that, as Jesus, in Jesus' own words, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life in him." God never wanted us to live with just mortal life. God wanted us to live eternally with Him. And that's why He sent His Son. And he sent John ahead of him to announce him. So we hear in that gospel today, John with his disciples standing there, and he sees Jesus coming toward them. And he says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He's the one I've been telling you about. Now I have seen him and testified that he is the Son of God." That was John's job. John knew that his baptism was just a symbol. It represented something. It represented asking God's forgiveness. But it didn't represent the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus could give that. So what does it mean to be a parishioner? Being a parishioner is the church's language for our response to that great gift that we've received, our acceptance of being admitted into the kingdom with eternal life, our acceptance of being accepted into the church founded by Jesus Christ. The church is not just some social organization that we decide whether or not we're going to be a member. That's not what this is all about. It's not some social club like the Lions Club, or, you know, I don't like this group, so I'm going to go someplace else. The church is geographical because we're fixed in time on earth. The church is local. So that's why Paul, you hear Paul, who was from Jerusalem, saying to the church in Corinth, in the south of Greece, in a very specific location, you can go to Corinth today and still find it. It's there. It was a very specific place then, and it still is now. One of the largest cities in the Roman Empire at the time. And Paul starts off his letter to the church of God that is in Corinth. And if he came here, he could say, to the church of God that is in Austin. That's the way that works. It's a specific local church with all the Christian believers, parishioners in Corinth. And in his letters, Paul calls them to work together, to be of one mind, one spirit, one baptism, one Eucharist, one family. What does it mean then to be a parishioner? And the psalm tells us, "Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will." If you accept your baptism and your redemption from sin and death, then we need to respond. We need to say, "Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will." You already have your redemption and your promise of eternal life as a gift. If you are practicing your faith, if you are baptized and receiving Holy Communion, you have the promise of eternal life. Does that make you perfect? Well, we need to rethink our definition of perfection. If it means I'm going to live forever, yeah. If it means I'm free from sin, no. Being made holy means being accepted to life with God. That's what Paul was talking about. But you need to respond. Indifference doesn't count. When we become parishioners, we say to the church, "Count on me. You can count on me. Here am I. I come to do your will." We tell the parish when we become parishioners, that we're not simply visiting, that we're not indifferent, but that we're part of the body whose head is Jesus. We're not in some independent social organization that we can decide whether or not to be in or out as a member. That's not what it means to be a parishioner. When we register as parishioners, we are actually telling the community, I'm committed to you as the body of Christ. You can count on me, much like we do in the sacrament of holy matrimony, when the spouses say, you can count on me. That's what the sacrament's all about. With God's help, you can count on me. When I was ordained a priest, I said yes. Twice. First of all, I had to have a one-on-one visit with the bishop. After all the formation, and I had to look him in the eye and answer questions and say, yes, you can count on me. I'm committed to you. I'm committing myself to you. I will be obedient. I'm committing myself to the Church of Austin and to you. That is you. You, in turn, are not baptized to simply come to church and decide in your indifference whether or not you want to be here today, or if you're going to go look for something else that will feed you. Like people saying, well, I shop around until I find a church that feeds me. I go looking for a church that gives me what I need. That's not a parishioner. Instead, our criteria should be, you can count on me. God, I come to do your will. When you register with the parish, you're telling the community who you are and that you want the church to know that you're here and to count on you. Too many people wish to remain anonymous, independent. They want to maintain their freedom to be indifferent. That's not parishioner. A lot of people come to a parish and they've been there for 20, 30 years, and they say, you know I'm here. Yeah, I know your face, but they changed me as a parishioner and you're not registered? How are we going to know about it? The next guy comes in, a new group of people come, you haven't registered? How do we know you're there? How do we know who you are? How do we know we can count on you if you haven't declared, you can count on me? Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.